Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing. Can you see me? Okay. I want to make sure I had it on. All right, how's everybody doing? Let me shut this down. I can get it. Do one or two other things right quick. And we're going to go ahead and get started. All right. How's everybody doing? Praise God. Praise God. God is so good. We're going to actually be going back to our book this week. And we're going to be, if you want to kind of follow along, page 148. We're going to be talking about a tale of two kings. We're going to be talking about David and Uzziah and how their actions depicted dishonor. And the consequences that happen because of their dishonor. And even though you're in a position of authority, you're not exempt from walking in the spirit of honor. The spirit of honor needs to be something that's done across the board on every level. You know, whether you're a king, whether you're an apostle, a prophet, actually, to whom much is given, the Bible says, much is required. So you are actually at a higher level, or should be at a higher level of honor and excellence, because you are actually setting an example. Amen? All right, we're going to pray and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I thank you, Lord God, for each and every student, those here in the class and those who are online, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, as this semester comes to a close, Lord God, that the students are getting everything they need, Lord God, and they're going to be equipped to go forth, Lord God, and to carry your word and to do exploits. And I thank you, Lord God, that they're going to manifest into the sons of God. And Lord God, we're careful to give you all the praise and all the honor. We thank you for our apostle and the anointing that's on his life and the mantle that's on this ministry, Lord God. And Lord, I just yield myself to you, and I just thank you right now, Holy Spirit. I just acknowledge your presence, for I know that if you do not show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So I just yield my total dependence upon you, and I give you all the praise, Lord God, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I said we're going to be talking about a tale of two kings, King David and King Uzziah. Amen? All right, and I stated earlier, I said just because you are in a position of authority does not mean that you can do what you want to do in ministry and in life. You're held at a very high standard. It says you are still accountable to God for your actions. You must respect God's ordained government, and you must respect God's people. I also stated that, matter of fact, in the book of Luke, it states in the book of Luke 12 and 48, it says, but he that, now this is talking about the scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. It says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whoever much is given of him, much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. So if God has blessed you and put you in a position of authority, it's even greater for you to walk in the spirit of honor, because you're setting a standard, and it's got to be a standard of excellence. I know that I have people in various levels in these classes, as far as, you know, there's some pastors, there may be some people who walk in the areas of evangelist, a prophet or whatever, but it doesn't matter when it comes to operating in the spirit of honor. You know, as a pastor or as a teacher or an evangelist, you have to set an example. set an example for your people, set an example for those, because if we want the body of Christ as a whole to operate in the spirit of honor, we as men and women of God have to set that example. And if we don't, there are consequences that are involved by not doing so. All right, let's get right off into talking about King David. If you want to follow along, we're going to be 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to read a little bit, and then we're going to expound on those, and we're going to really get into this. Amen. It says here in 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass after the year was expired and the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rahab. But David tarried still in Jerusalem. So David had sent his army out to battle, and they were, you know, in the process of winning a battle. But David stayed, it said here, and he tarried in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, and it came to pass in the evening tide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And it says, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is it not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, and she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. Verse 5 says, and the woman conceived and sent and told David that she was with child. Now here David is the king, and Uriah is one of David's trusted servants who's out at battle. David, as a king, probably should have been out on, you know, making sure that his troops and everybody was doing what they were supposed to do. But he was back at home where all the woman was. So he's up on his rooftop now looking around, and he sees Bathsheba bathing herself naked. And all of a sudden, he has a desire for her. He inquires and finds out who this is and finds out, well, that's one of my men's wives, and he's out to battle. So he has her come over to the palace, has sex with her, and now she's pregnant. And so David now dishonors somebody of lower stature, which was one of his trusted servants, Uriah. So David now decides, well, I'm going to have to get Uriah back and have him rendezvous, the author talks about, or have a meeting with his wife so that they can, you know, engage in sexual relationships, so that he could claim the child as if it were his, you know. But the thing about it, when you read that, you find out that Uriah was such a trusted servant that even when David called for him and told him to come and had a meal with him and told him, you know, take your rest, you know, go spend some time with your wife, he said, hey, you know, the troops are out at the battle. He says, I don't even feel right. You know, here I am, you know, relaxing, taking it easy, you know, having a good time while men are giving their lives, you know, for the service of our country. And so he, that night, he didn't even go home. He slept at the door of the palace with some other men who was there, you know, with David. And so David couldn't get him. Even David tried to get him drunk, the Bible talks about, and thinking he might, you know, that might ease him up a little bit to go home and do what he, you know, to try to cover up David's sin. But that didn't work. So basically what happens after that, now David comes and he talks to one of his trusted men and tell him to put Uriah in the front of the battle, you know, in the heat of the battle, where some of the best elite soldiers for the other country is, so that the chances of him being killed is great, which does happen. And so Uriah dies, and David now, after Bathsheba mourns the loss of her husband, now he takes her as his wife. You know, dishonor. He dishonored his loyal and trusted servant. You know, and what I want to point out to you is that there is consequences for dishonor. You know, it says here, and I say I've pretty much covered. Let me get to where I want to go. All right, let's share something else. And this is what basically what happens right after that situation happened. It says here, let me get to here. David, through his actions, sowed the seed of dishonor, and Nathan the prophet was sent to him by God with a word to David. Nathan the prophet told David a parable about a man who had a lot of sheep and a man who had one lamb. And he told him that this man with a lot of sheep took the lamb from the man that only had one sheep. And when David heard this parable that Nathan the prophet told him, he said David was enraged and he wanted this particular person punished, and he wanted him killed. And then Nathan the prophet looks at David and says, "You are that man." In other words, you had everything. You had the wives, the concubines. You had it all, but you took one of your trusted servant's wife and you committed sin with her, and then you had that trusted servant killed to cover your sin. And then after that, it says here that Samuel now begins to share with David what thus said the Lord, as far as these are the consequences that you're going to have to go through. "Therefore, thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord." This is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 9, 11 and 12, and I think I might even go into 14. He says, "Therefore, thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." Now here comes the penalties for David's operating in the spirit of disobedience. Verse 11 says, "Thus said the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbors, and they shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun." In other words, it's going to be done in open, because verse 12 says, "For thou didst it secretly with Bathsheba, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Howbeit, because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme. The child that Bathsheba is carrying, so that child will die." So the consequences of David's sin was something that he loved was going to be taken away from him. You know, dishonor at any and every level has consequences, you know. And it's so very important that we be men and women of integrity, men and women who walk upright before God in every situation and under every occasion. One of the things, even myself personally, you know, when I travel to go to meetings or conferences, and this was even years ago, I like my wife to travel with me. Matter of fact, I saw one of the LTMA Master Vision Bearers this past weekend, and he made mention to me, and I said, I see you and your wife here. I said, yeah, I enjoy traveling with my wife. He said, that's a good thing to do, you know, and I knew what he meant by that, because it just keeps you honest, and it's one of the things I've learned, the Bible says, is to sustain from all appearance of evil, you know. And that's so very important. In our dealings, we have to be men and women above reproach, you know, because even I remember the apostle said that there have been times that he don't even like sometimes traveling with his daughter in the front seat, because if people don't know that's his daughter, the gossip and the criticism and the slander, all that tries to, because of what people see, because of a perceived perception. So one of the things, even I remember on my job, there were many times in my earlier years, I used to work in a laboratory, work shift work. They would always try to pair me with another female working together. And in every case, I said, Lord, you're going to have to get me out of this situation. You know what I mean? And one of the reasons I had one year was I was going to be off on Fridays, and my wife was also off, and she was on a similar schedule at the time. And I said, well, I can't work this schedule because I want to be off the same time with my wife. And so that freed me up from having to work with people. And just, you know, even though nothing probably would have never happened, but getting back to what I was saying about sustaining from all appearance of evil. And basically, you know, you don't want to give the devil any place. You know, if David would have been out to battle and been with his men, you know, I've heard people like Oral Roberts and several other evangelists and Billy Graham say when they go into a hotel room, they have somebody go in there and check it out. Because you never know what device the enemy may try to plant just to you know, diminish and demean your credibility, even though it may not be nothing that you did, but it's the perception that, you know, you always want to stay above board in ministry. And by doing so, that keeps, you know, that gives the devil no place, and that keeps, you know, everything front and center. All right? Okay, let me just share this again. One of the penalties for David's dishonor towards his servant Uriah was that his son, he and Bathsheba's son, would die. You know, that was a penalty. And also, not only that, but the wife that he did have was going to be taken from him and given to other people, and that was going to be all that was going to be done openly. As a result of the penalty of dishonor, David's family reaped, it was just they reaped generations of upheaval, you know, because once a dishonorable seed is sown, it not only just affects you, but it affects your generations after you, your sons and your daughters, their children. And sometimes it takes somebody to come along and reverse that curse, reverse that seed of dishonor to wipe the slate clean. Amen? So it says here, to reverse the curse of the events that David set in motion, he repented and received God's judgment of the death of his son, he and Bathsheba's son. The thing that David loved the most was the thing that was taken away from him because of his sin that he committed, a sin of dishonor. Okay, now we're going to talk also now about another king. Both of these men were kings. Both of these men were called of God. One of the things we're going to be talking about, Uzziah. Now, the Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You know, God will call you and he will equip you for a particular office that he has set for you to do. And it's so very important that you walk in that office in humility, you know, and not try to venture off and do something that God didn't call you to do. Because the anointing of God will only be available to you doing what God called you to do. And that's so very important. We're going to read a little bit about Uzziah. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles 26. I'm going to be reading from around verses 3 through 5 in the King James. And it says that here when Uzziah, he said, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and to reign 52 years in Jerusalem. So he had a reign of 52 years. His mother's name was Jecolah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Uzziah did. Verse 5 says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And I'm going to pause there. We're going to park there for a while. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. One of the things, as I read that and meditated on it, God began to show me how important it is to get God's direction, to get God's guidance, and not just to step out in your own ability, but when you do step out, you want to step out in God's ability, according to God's plan and God's purpose for your life. That's so very important. It says here, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord made him to prosper. You know, the Bible says to seek the Lord God with all our heart and with all our soul. I said, this is a simple truth, but surprisingly, many people do not walk in that truth of just seeking God. I mean, you know, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. And it's so very important that we, you know, acknowledge God in all our ways so that he can direct our path. And that's true in ministry and in life. You know, there should not be a step that we take in ministry, especially, that God didn't ordain and direct. Because, and I shared this a couple of weeks ago, I was in prison ministry, and one of the prison ministers was ministering, and he shared a text or a phrase that Kenneth Hagin used years ago that rung a bell back on the inside of me. He said that some men, and when he said men, he's talking about Christian, some men or some people, some Christians live and die and never reach the first phase of their ministry, simply because even though they know they may have a call on their lives, a lot of times when you know you got a call of God on your life, because of tradition or because of the way the majority of the people go, immediately a lot of men say, well, if I got a call of God on my life, well, now I must be called to be a pastor. That's not always the case. When I was in college and when I started to grow in the things of God, taught Bible studies, you know, led prayer meetings and what have you, everybody just knew that one day that I would have a church, that I would be a pastor. And years later, when people would see me, they wouldn't say, where's your church at, Brother Ken? I said, I'm not a pastor. They said, what? They said, we just knew, no, God never called me in the office of the pastorate, you know. And as I sought God, God began to show me. He says, I didn't call you to be in the forefront. I'm gonna use you more in the background. You know, supportive ministries is what came into my heart. You know, one of the things I do here at Word of Life, I support my man of God. I do whatever my hand finds to do or whatever I'm instructed to do. I pick up whatever assignment that's given to me and I run with it. You know, and I'm anointed to do it because God's called me in that area. You know, and when you function in that particular office, well, then there's not only is there a tremendous blessing, but there's also backup, you know, the Holy Spirit backup. But what happens is, you know, when you start to function or think you can function in an office that God didn't equip you for, you're actually walking in your own ability and not God's ability. You've outstepped God's direction for your life. God went right, you went left. You know, and God will do everything he can to get you back on track. But getting back to that statement, and we're going to get back to the lesson, where I said some men live and die and never reach. They know they have a call, but they never sought God long enough and hard enough to get direction for their life so that they can begin to proceed and begin to fulfill the destiny that God has intended for them. You know, there's a destiny that God has intended for each and every one of us. And it's so very important that we fulfill that purpose and that destiny in our lives. Let me move on so I won't run out of time and not finish everything I want to share today. I stated here in Proverbs 3:5-7, it says, to trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Romans 8:14 is another good scripture. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. You know, God will lead his children. If you're a child of God, expect to be led by God. In other words, God will lead you to your destiny, you know, and that's so very important. When you acknowledge God in all your ways, he will direct your steps. Make sure that your steps are directed by God and not directed by your own good ideas. There is a big difference between a good idea and a God idea. A good idea is what you think you need to be doing, but a God idea is God's divine plan, divine will, divine destiny for your life. You want, you know, Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. You know, Jesus came to perfectly fulfill the will of the Father, not to do what he wanted to do, but to do what was pleasing to his Father. And that should be our heart's cry. Lord, I want to do your will. And I want to get back to Isaiah. He said, Isaiah, the king, tried to step into another office that God did not ordain. Now, God had ordained him to be a king. And in his kingship, Isaiah was he did everything. I mean, he fortified the city. He built the armies. He was there. He made tremendous progress because as long as the scripture said, as he sought the Lord, the Lord made him to prosper and the Lord was with him, you know, but, you know, he got into some error when he wanted to venture off into another area. It says it is a dangerous thing to walk in an office that God did not call you to walk in. When you do that, you are operating in the spirit of dishonor. Even though I'm going to talk a little bit about Aaron and his sons. Aaron had two sons. It says, well, he had five sons, but two of them end up being consumed by fire because they offered up incense or what the Bible talks about, strange fire. Even though they were in the priesthood, but they weren't instructed. Aaron was the high priest, and he was the one calling the shots. He was the one that had the heaven to earth connection that God was speaking to. His sons were in line for the priesthood, but now they want to go and they want to offer up incense before God, and it was strange fire under God. And when they did that, they were consumed by the fire of God, you know, because of their disobedience. You know, there's consequences for disobedience, and that's something. Even though now in this dispensation we're in a dispensation of grace, and so God will give us a space of grace to get it right, to get our act together, but there's still going to be penalties. Going back to what I said earlier, some men live and die and never reach. And sometimes people actually, by getting out of the will of God, end up checking out of this world early because of disobedience, because the grace, the anointing, you know, the equipping of God is going to be with you. But you know, the gifts and the callings are without repentance, but we want to make sure that gift and calling is directed and orchestrated by God and not by our own thoughts and our own opinions of what we think we need to be doing. Okay, let me read on. I'm going to skip over a few things here. It says here that Uriah began as a young man and a godly king. And his position was actually comparable to that of the president of the United States, the author says. It says he engaged the Philistine army in war. He took their strongholds and he built cities around them. These are all Isaiah's accomplishments. Isaiah's name was known abroad, and he established himself as a skillful military leader. Why? Because as long as he sought the Lord, the Lord was with him. He was operating in his God-ordained destiny by being king, by being that military leader, by formulating things and setting up things and getting Israel strong and making them their fortifications strong. That was, I'm giving you an example. About 20, 22, 23 years ago, the apostle, I was in his office, and I've shared this before. And I had some questions concerning, we had cell ministry back then. And he answered my questions, and I was about to leave the office. And then he said, no, you're here for another reason. He began to share with me about, I want you to begin to start to go into the prisons. I want you to be a part of the prison ministry. Get with brother so-and-so, and whatever he tells you to do, do it. Okay? I'm still in prison ministry. Right now, I'm over prison ministry. One of the things I have noticed, even though I teach in the school of ministry, I teach the foundation class, and sometimes I'm asked to the apostle to do various assignments. I find that I am more anointed when I'm inside the prison ministering than any other time, because I was initially called to that assignment by my man of God. And because of that, I flow in it. You know, I can't put it into words, but it's just a free flow. You know, when I get there and, you know, the guys are excited, you know, and most of the time they say, Brother Calhoun, what you shared is exactly what we need, because the call was there, you know. And you see, I'm running out of time, but I want to share this. When the apostolic and God's government gets in place, which is doing, God, how can I put this, Lord? God uses his apostles and his prophets to get every aspect of the body of Christ in the position that they need to be. You know, we all have different talents and different gifts and different anointings, but it takes an apostolic anointing to cause all of these ministries to line up properly. You're a man of God. And you see, even though you say, well, I'm not directly under an apostle, I'm under a pastor. Well, if your pastor is hooked up to the apostle, he's under an apostolic anointing. So when he gives you instructions or say, I think the Lord, you know, I want you to work in this area of ministry. Well, guess what? He's hearing from God. He's following the apostle. He's under that apostolic, that covering. So the anointing, as I always stated, flows down. So when he's properly positioned and you following and submitting to him, guess what? You're properly positioned, you know, because that's order. That is God's government. That's how it works. And so when he gives you an assignment, stick with that assignment. Don't venture off and try to do your own thing, you know, because you're going to be more anointed doing what God called you to do than any other time in your life. I know that from personal experience. When I operate and function what God called me to do, the anointing of God just shows up. I just expect it because I know the equipping is there. You know, it's evident. One area I know the Lord uses me in is ministering people the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Several years ago, when I was about 18, 19, maybe 20 years old, and I was ministering to some people about the Holy Spirit, and I said, Lord, but if I lay hands on them, they're going to think it's me. The Lord said, well, I don't want you to lay hands on anybody anymore. He said, you just do what I tell you to do. Give them the proper instruction. Let them know that Jesus is the Holy Ghost baptizer, and that they're going to begin to speak words. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when you tell them to speak for it, I'll fill them every time. That's been 30 plus years ago or better. And it never failed. There's been as many as 20, 30, 40 people at one time get filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the anointing is there for that. I remember Howard Carter. He was a man used of God mightily in England. He was used a lot in that area. And sometimes people would come to him to have him lay hands on them for various ailments in their body. But he says, I'm not as anointed to do that. He said, but my wife over here, the Lord uses her in laying hands on people for that particular condition. Let her lay hands on you and you'll get your healing. I can pray for you, but she's anointed to do that. And you see, that's people who know that they're functioning and they're gifting and they flow in it. You know, and he could have laid hands. I remember another instance where the apostle was ministering for Kenneth Copeland years ago at 30 Days of Glory. And he would fly back and be with us on Sundays and Wednesdays, and he would fly back to Eagle Mountain and he would minister for Kenneth Copeland. And one day he wasn't there, and Kenneth Copeland ministered. And Kenneth Copeland said, I'll cover for you while you're not here. He says, I can teach prosperity, but apostle, you are anointed for teaching prosperity, just like Benny Hinn is anointed in the area of healing. So when you know your area of anointing, you're going to flow in it. And it's going to, when I was in Seattle last week, we saw some waterfalls. We saw water gushing from waterfall. Well, when you operate in your area of anointing, that anointing is going to flow just like water falling off a waterfall. Free flow. You know, no resistance. Why? Because you're flowing and you're more anointed doing that than any other time in your life. And I got about 11 minutes. Let me move. Amen. All right. Let's move on. 2 Samuel 12, 9, 11, 12, and 14. Therefore, Thou hast despised, let me make sure I'm, no, make sure that I'm in the right area. All right. Okay. And I started reading in 2 Chronicles 26, 3 and 5, where it says, 16-year-old, when he was 16-year-old, Uriah, when he began to reign, he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecolah of Jerusalem. And as long as he did, you know, what the Lord called him to do, he prospered. Verse 5. Okay. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord prospered him. This is a simple truth. We talked about that. When you acknowledge God in all your ways, he will direct your steps, you know, and that's so very important. Okay, Uzziah, the king, tried to step into another office that God didn't ordain. Okay, let me explain what happened. It says, I say here, it's a dangerous thing to try to walk in an office God did not ordain or not call you to walk in. And that's what happened in the case of Uzziah. It says, Uzziah began as a young man, a godly man, but it goes on and says he engaged the Philistine, and we talked about how he engaged the Philistine, and he took their strongholds and he built cities because he was anointed to do that. Then he developed an impressive army, prepared them with the necessary weaponry, even sanctioned the creation of new battle implements, and his name spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped until he was very strong. Okay, whenever there's a genuine calling of God and there's a vision, there's always going to be provision and there's always going to be everything you need to carry that assignment out. But what happened that caused him to begin to dishonor, to walk in dishonor, was that one day he decided that he was going to go into the temple. He was going to walk into the high priest's office and go into an area that he was not consecrated for. He was going to step in another man's office. And that's a dangerous thing to do. It says in his later years, when he was strong, Uzziah crossed the boundary lines of kings and tried to step into another office that he was not ordained for. He made a tremendous assumption that because the hand of the Lord was with him, to that date, that he could stand in the priest's office without reproach, an office that he was not called to. It is a dangerous thing to try to walk into another office or another assignment that God didn't call you to. Remember, Uzziah was an innovator, a cutting-edge leader. He was very successful, had a very successful track record. The principle here is that the mishandling of times of success can cause a blur in the boundary lines, the author says. You think you can cross over to another lane, but God didn't assign you to that lane, so you want to stay in your God-given position. It says here in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was filled up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And this is 2 Chronicles 26, verses 16 through 20. You know, the high priest tried to stop him. You know, they tried to, you know, say, no, you don't need to do it. And it said that, and they withstood Uriah, the king, and said unto him, it apprehended you not unto thee, Uriah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and the sons of Aaron. In other words, this is consecrated for the high priestly ministry only. But he, you know, he wanted to, because he was king and he was, and you see, it was the successes. He was, you know, everything was clicking. All cylinders had been clicking when he was operating in his God-given assignment. And you see, that's where the deception lies. You know, you're anointed and you're doing what God called you to do. And it'll, you know, it's like you're Superman. I'm invincible. Yeah, you are, because of, you know, and that's one of the reasons why when I pray, and there have been even people when I travel with the apostle come up to me and say, Brother Calhoun, you have no idea how you bless me when you say, Lord, if you don't show up, the Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. You know, they said that they appreciate that total, because I've learned over the years that I'm nothing without the Holy Spirit. I'm nothing without God. You know, I don't care how much I study, how much I pray. I need God's presence at every minute, every second of the day, and especially when I'm ministering. So I just yield my members over unto him, you know. And you see, so Uzziah, as long as he was doing this, he was flowing. Things were going. Things were being he was being productive. But now, because of him being lifted up, because of all his successes, he thinks, well, I can venture over into another area. And by doing so, it says, Uriah was wroth because they tried to stop him, angry. I am the king. I can do what I want to do. And had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, for beside the incense altar. And Azar, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from hence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out. Well, now he's going to leave, but it's too late. You know, already disobeyed, you know. So he said, well, let me get out of here, you know. And that's what the problem is. Sometimes people, it's too late. You didn't disobey, you know. Now you gotta suffer the consequence. He died a leper. Even though he was so successful, you know, but he ventured off. Now, mind you, this is the Old Testament, and we're in a dispensation of grace, but God's government is being established in these last days. And so it's very important. You know, I tell people to, you know, those people who are called of God to wait on their calling and to make full proof of your ministry. You know, your man of God, your pastor, your apostle, they're going to endorse it. And if he says, yeah, you might have a particular calling on your life, but it hadn't manifested yet, don't call yourself what you're calling yourself. Well, then take the title away, because titles don't, you know, titles it only identifies the function of what an individual does. But you just want to be where God wants you to be and start functioning in that. And you see, that's what God's government, because we have a lot of people who've been claiming titles with no anointing, with no power, with nothing to back up, no manifestation, no demonstration. And so what ends up happening is that, you know, it's more of a performance and a show than a real true manifestation and demonstration of the power of God. You know, and in these last days, God is restoring his kingdom. He's restoring government. And we need to fall in place where God's government has put us. You know, if we're a king, if we're a priest, if we're anointed of God, if God's called you to be a pastor, you be a pastor. If God's called you to be a teacher or evangelist, you know, if God calls you in the ministry of helps or governments, you know, you fall in and begin to believe God for everything you need to fulfill that assignment. And guess what? It's going to come. God's going to give you everything you need to fulfill that assignment. Once you have walked in your God-given office and experienced great success, you are now qualified to set yourself up for another office. No, you're not. Just because, I'm going to read that again. Once you have walked in your God-given office and have experienced great success, you know, a lot of people think that now I'm qualified to set myself in another office. You know, it's time for me to advance. The Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. You know, God will promote you in his time. Don't get ahead of God, but you need to stay on target, stay on track. One of my favorite expressions when I'm talking to people in the ministry of helps or in prison ministry, stay in lane, stay in your assignment. You know, sometimes I'll see certain ushers and I say, you have no idea how much you bless me, because you're walking in your God-given assignment. You know, you are a blessing. You know, some people think that what I do is so trivial, but it's not. No, you know, my little toe, though it might seem trivial, if it's not on my foot, I'm out of balance. Every part of my body has a unique function. And even though we don't see it being displayed all the time, it's not glorious, but it completes you. And every member in the body of Christ completes the body of Christ. So when you walk in your God-given assignment, you are bringing, the Bible says, making increase of itself in love. You're building up the body of Christ. So whatever you're called to do, you know, I don't desire to be in the front, in the pulpit. I want to be exactly where God called me to be. I want to be in the lane and in the direct path of what God has called me to do. And when you do that, you bring great blessing to the body of Christ. And guess what? Great blessing come upon you, because the Bible says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So you're seeking God, and God is equipping you for a particular office, and you're not even after the things, but because you're after God and after the assignment God called you, and you're pursuing it with great gusto. You know, I remember, I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut it down, when the apostle called me and told me about he was restructuring the school of ministry, and he wanted me to be an instructor. That being a new avenue in my life, I'm still right now, even in my third year, walking in that very humbly, very, very humbly. I mean, the first year is like, Lord, I don't even think I can do this. But if my apostle thinks enough of me, I'm just going to step out in faith. And each year, each semester, I'm not going to say it gets easier, but I learn to flow in it better, because I'm learning to function in a God-given assignment, you know. And as you're faithful in whatever God called you to do, God will promote you. But it's the faithfulness and honoring God where you are. Amen. All right, we're going to shut it down right there, and we'll see you guys next week. Be blessed.